Hello and welcome to another episode of the Real Cognition Podcast. I'm your host, Mario Avalos. With me, my friend and your friend, Mr. Jay Griggs.
Hey everybody, what's up?
And with us, as always from now on, Mr. Josh Wagner.
Hey, what's up?
A.K.A. the great Josh Wagner.
The great Josh Wagner. And this week, there's something that I want to jump into that's really been a hot bun topic this whole week. The George Zimmerman case. You can tell this case and you can describe it by leaving race out of it, by leaving everything else out of it, and we just describe it as a man with an ego problem. Had George Zimmerman been a good neighborhood watchman, he would have made sure that Trayvon Martin got home safe. That's what a good neighborhood watchman does. Instead, he had a big ego problem. He went out, he had this idea that he was going to save the world. Maybe he had the best intentions according to him. Maybe he thought that he knew what was good for everybody. But then he got himself into the situation. He killed a boy and he was told to stand down. The officers told him to stand down. The 911 operator told him that he didn't have to follow Trayvon Martin. And he still went ahead and did it anyway. And if that isn't a guy with an ego problem, I don't know what is. It's not racial. I mean, it's not a racial situation because it could have been anybody in Trayvon Martin's shoes. Yeah, everyone says, I'm Trayvon Martin, you're Trayvon Martin. That's because it could have been anybody at the hands of an egotistical man.
Wow, man, that's I think that makes really good sense. I think that makes sense, and I think a lot of people are either really like for it or against it. And I think a lot of people that are against it are people that are, you know, saying that, like, the media just like overdoes it, and the media is over like representing it to us. Like, I mean, you have Obama's addressing it, and then you have Jay-Z addressing it.
Jay-Z and Beyonce at the New York City Justice for Trayvon rally.
And yeah, and it should be, because it is a terrible situation. And you know what? In any terrible situation, it's fine that it is, because it's sad. It was a sad story, man. Like, the poor kid, I think the poor kid got murdered. But at the same time, you know, there is all those people that get killed in Chicago. There's all these deaths every day, and there's a lot more deaths that happen every time that are racially, you know, based on in more recent times, but they don't get the attention. So it's like, you have to be consistent. You know what I mean?
And what happens is, you know, people like to blame a person. It's really hard to blame an idea, to blame an ideal, to blame a belief. You find someone who's guilty, and that person is the lightning rod. Time and time again, it's going to be cliche, but O.J. Simpson, he was the lightning rod of his time, of his case. I don't even have to talk about what he did. But this could have been anybody, and people are just focusing on the characters of the story rather than the moral of the story itself.
It's just sad. I think it's just a sad. Whatever, if he did it and got off scot-free, it's a terrible story. It's a terrible story that a young boy died. It's a terrible story that this man thought that his life was in danger. And he killed a young, he knows that in his conscience is that he killed a kid that could have been avoided, you know?
Yeah.
Well, one thing that I want to know, you know, is how did it go from, like, how did he approach Trayvon? Like, did they talk about that? I didn't follow it too much. I got the bullet points of what was going on.
Basically, George Zimmerman was a neighborhood watchman. He noticed something shady going on in his neighborhood. So what do you do when you see something shady going on? You call the police. You inform somebody, which is the role of a watchman. He was watching out for homes getting broken into. But he felt like he had to save the world. He took it into his own hands. He followed Trayvon Martin to the point that maybe it made Trayvon Martin uncomfortable. Up until that point, it's pretty murky. No one is going to argue that something didn't happen that night, because clearly something did. Someone's dead. George Zimmerman has his injuries on him. So no one is going to argue that nothing happened. But up until the point that it was instigated, where the use of deadly force needed to be used, it 100% preventable death.
Well, of course, yeah, but I'm wondering how it escalated to the point where it was just a guy who was watching this kid as he was on his way home to them being in a physical fight.
I think the only people that are ever going to truly know that is between George Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin himself.
Well, the speculation on that, I mean, think about it. How often does a fight, a situation between two people actually escalate to a physical fist fight?
Worldstar Hip Hop tells me every day there's at least 10 people,
10 people
throwing down and stomping out 10 other people.
Worldstar Hip Hop, get out of here.
But, yeah. So, now, if he pulled up and he jumped out of the car with his gun drawn and was, like, screaming at him, I could see why, you know, Trayvon decided to defend himself at that point. But if he got out of the car, now this is pure speculation because none of us know what happened. But if he got out of the car and said, "Hey, what are you doing? You know, what are you doing here?" He's like, "Oh, I'm heading home. I went to the store. I got Skittles."
Yeah. Are you all right? Are you okay? Do you need a ride home?
But that's. I don't think that's how regular people talk. I think how it would go down is you have this guy, and somehow there's a confrontation. And let's say it's Trayvon did notice that he was being followed, and he went and he rolls up on a guy that was following him. If someone was following me, I wouldn't take it like very civil. I wouldn't go up to the guy and be like, "Oh, excuse me, guy, are you following me?" No, that's stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if he has a gun or a knife. If I think someone's following me, I'm going to go hide or I'm going to find a way to stay safe. I would avoid the whole situation.
Yeah.
But I don't know how angry Trayvon is. I don't know if this happens to him a lot. And that's the thing that a lot of people don't understand, that when you're a certain skin color, mm-hmm. and you go to certain stores, it's 2013. Yeah. But, dude, sometimes I go in basketball shorts and a shirt because I'm there to grab something real quick. Mm-hmm. And let's say I walk into a store, and then I still have people, like, coming up to me saying, like, "Hey, man, like, do you need some help?" I'm like, "No, I'm just whatever." And I'm like, go down the next aisle, and there's, like, another person that says, "Hey, man, do you need help?" And, dude, I used to work fucking security at Best Buy. I used to be, like, head of security at Best Buy. And 100%, sometimes I would be, you know, looking out for people
trying to... You'd profile somebody.
No, I wouldn't profile.
Security.
But I would be looking out for behavior.
Yeah.
I'm a smart person. I look out for behavior. But 100%, you know what I would happen? I'm there. I'm in charge of the whole surveillance of the whole store. And a certain manager would walk up to me. And there'd be a guy standing next to me, like one of my coworkers that's like a personal friend. I would be like, $10. He's going to tell me about some kind of Mexican kid or black kid in the CD aisle. And I'm going to have to follow that guy for like an hour the whole time because this guy... It happens every day, and he's going to come up to me really nicely and say it, and really politely, but this is like a daily thing. The manager constantly, "Oh, you're a brown, black kid in CD aisle? Mario, you got to keep an eye on this kid. Mario, you have to..." And I would be watching meth heads, like, doing some really strange activity, and this guy would be like, "Oh, no, man, it's this guy in CDs, blah, blah." And this would be a daily thing, and you know, that still happens. If someone was following Trayvon Martin, and he's been in that situation before and been pissed off, he's going to go and he's going to try and jack the guy. Maybe Zimmerman is trying to defend himself. We don't know what happened. They're the only ones.
You know, at that point, I mean, where did the breakdown come from? Was it? I think that's really what a lot of people were trying to identify. Like, where did it happen? At what point did it turn from, "Hey, I'm just checking out what this kid's doing," to a physical altercation?
I think they're the only ones that know, dude.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you throw in the racial card in there. And like I said before, it just becomes a lightning rod, a powder keg. It ignites the whole situation. Yeah. And we saw it in the media, 24/7, rally for Trayvon Martin. And, you know, a couple of people on the right wing end of things saying, you know, George Zimmerman's innocent. But, you know, a lot of people came out.
I think the worst thing is that you got to see how gross some people got. I mean, you had, like, things like Ann Coulter saying like, "Hallelujah." Like, "Hallelujah," like, "Justice has been done, hallelujah." Like, this was such a, like, this was like a gift from God that he was innocent.
People got
that was gross.
Isn't that what "hallelujah" means?
Yeah, I thought that was gross. And then you had people on the far, 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 far left that were like, "This is proof that this country is not what it used to be." I'm like, "Oh, this is proof that this country is not what it used to be? You mean when they were spying on us like 6 months ago and they told everyone that wasn't proof?" There's always been things that have made this country like really shady. Really not the great, but this is the thing that makes this country not great. No, you just weren't paying attention the last 15, 20, 30 years. Patriot Act.
You didn't even got to go back that far.
We went to war with Iraq for no reason. Do you guys remember that? How many people died? How many people died on both sides? Iraq is a mess. And, but this is the thing that makes this country not great anymore. I'm like, yeah. You're gross. Like, there's gross people on both sides, man. I think that's the worst thing that happened.
This case is at the forefront today, but a couple years ago, I mean, don't even go back that far. Casey Anthony, O.J. Simpson, it's happened before, and I'd hate to say that it's going to happen again, but more likely than not.
And how jacked up is the rule that the double jeopardy rule? I understand that you can't take somebody back to court over and over and over and over again for the same thing, but... Casey Anthony, they found the smoking gun after she was acquitted of it. But since there's no double jeopardy, we can't do anything about it. So we know there is a baby murdering piece of shit on the street right now. They found searches on her computer for the exact way her baby was killed.
And I don't know if you guys are computer experts, but What ended up happening was they just forgot to check their Firefox internet history.
Seriously. Like, did they, like, try to go in too deep
as soon as I knew why she was getting a lot of TV attention, just because she was attractive, I was like, hey, you know what? I'm not gonna fall for this. Like, they're just showing some chick who's, like, bangable and that she may or may not have murdered her daughter. I'm like, that's gross. I'm not gonna encourage that shit. So I didn't watch it, okay? But all I got at the end, she was found, like, completely innocent, and I saw there was so much outrage, and then I saw the reasons why people thought she was guilty, and I'm like, hey, those are legit reasons. She probably was guilty, like, afterwards.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I could just imagine, like, a jury of a bunch of dudes that just want to bang her and shit. And they're like, no, she's too hot to fucking kill the baby. Like, that's gross. But that's it's the way you got to think sometimes, because jurors, like, they make the worst calls. And my friend told me this comment the other day. He's like, hey, the only people that go to jury duty are the people that are too dumb to get out of it. People have nothing else to do, right?
On a side comment, yeah. I love going to jury duty, man.
No,
it's fun.
No. In my job, let's say if I go to jury duty, dude, my job is one thing where it's a constant thing. So if I take a day off, whatever I did that day has to be compiled into the next, and the next couple of days to get my stuff done, man. That jury duty is not worth that stress in my life. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm going to get out of it somehow. And I think a lot of people that maybe don't have jobs, maybe don't have nothing else to do, maybe they're retirees, maybe they're bored, maybe they're stay-at-home moms, like people that have nothing else to do. And sometimes these people are not...
Well, stay-at-home.
Not the brightest sometimes.
Stay-at-home.
That makes sense, right? If you're staying at home all day and you have nothing else to do, you're not the brightest.
Yeah.
These people show up and then make ridiculous calls, but it's like, who else was available? And I'm part of the problem too, because I try and find ways to get out of it. You know, I'm part of the problem.
Yeah.
So that sucks.
That's why I enjoy going to jury duty. I find it to be an adventure, but I get a little off topic there. Now, going back to some of these ridiculous laws, I mean, this man in Texas killed a prostitute after she failed to sleep with him after she had paid him. He shot her. He was acquitted because it's Texas law that you can retrieve stolen property using deadly force, man. Can you believe that? You can retrieve stolen property using deadly force. I mean, is this like India where you take something and they chop off your hands for stealing a pack of gum?
I don't know, man.
Well, technically, there is no property in that. You're not buying the hooker. Like, you don't... She's not yours. You're just paying for...
Oh, no, he stole her money then. Then at that point, she stole the money.
She stole his money.
Okay, she took the money.
No, we're not going to argue. We're not going to argue hooker ethics on this show. This show is above that.
But anyway...
It's a real cognition.
We're not going to go there.
We use the word cognition in our podcast. We can't go down the route.
But, going back to the Trayvon Martin case, you know, they pulled up records of his cell phone. They were able... I mean, how was the police able to pull up his cell phone records, who he was talking to at the time, the pictures? They did a drug test on him, and it said he had a little bit of weed in his system. What does that have to do with any part of the story? And George Zimmerman, didn't he have a history of violence already?
Yeah, he did have he assaulted a police officer once, which I think would already kind of have given some questionable behavior. And he had a record. And also... I think it was really sad what happened afterwards. Do you guys remember how he started a fundraiser on a website where he asked for help? There was a guy that he felt that he needed help from the public, and people reached out to him. Like, some people were like, hey, maybe this guy might be targeted because of the whole situation is getting blown out of proportion. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's give him some money. He raised a lot of money, and wasn't he caught, like, embezzling it or something,
telling
his wife to hide it. So you have a guy that asked for help, and out of the help people give him, he's stealing from the help people give him, like trying to hide money on the side. That already tells you what kind of person he is.
This should be a case of character, not of race.
Exactly, and yeah, it's all shakes. It's a gross situation.
No, yeah. I mean,
it's sad. It's sad, man.
But they were able to pull up, you know, they had the records of who he was talking to, you know, how many times he called somebody. And, you know, and that leads us into the other big topic issue that was big in the media a couple weeks ago. Now I'm not hearing any more about it. You know, it's relatively low-key now. It was this whole Edward Snowden thing and the NSA spying on the American people, man.
Yeah, first of all, I just want to give a big shout-out and a FU to Yahoo, Verizon, AT&T, Google, Facebook, and Microsoft. I know I probably just hammered on a bunch of people that we'll be sharing our information through, but... I mean, those are all companies that actually sold the American people out to the NSA.
Did you guys know that freaking Verizon charges the government $775 to spy on your line for 1 month and then $500 a month after that?
Yeah.
So not only are they using your tax money to build a system to spy on you, which is completely legal by some sort of secret interpretation of the Patriot Act that we allowed to pass, but... They're also using the tax money to pay ridiculous sums to these companies who are selling you out anyway.
Wow, that blew my mind, man.
Yeah.
Mind blown.
Well, there is
mind blown. Yeah. I didn't know that. That's what? Really?
Yeah, and every company does it. I mean, AT&T.
And people know this.
Yeah, there's a report that came out a couple days ago. AT&T charges.
So people know that AT&T is making a shitload of money off the government taking my info?
Yeah, well,
for my money, so I'm double
paying. You're
paying
the tax, yeah.
I'm double paying.
Yeah, I mean, the government should pay your cell phone bill, man.
Yeah, because we're paying taxes that probably pay for them to spy on us. So technically, we're paying people to spy on us.
Exactly.
Why aren't the cell phone bills from Verizon and AT&T going down if they're, you know, charging that much? Well, I guess they do it on a case by case basis, but it's kind of crazy that you get a subscription. They get a subscription to
your data.
Yeah, to your data. It's
I didn't know this. I didn't know this.
Yeah, and each company now, there's this huge push for transparency, and you know, everyone's trying to say, well, we've done this, we haven't done that, but realistically, from big corporations, I mean, you've got that bad rep following you of not being the most transparent companies, keeping secrets from competitors, keeping secrets from your own employees. Kind of like Enron, the CEOs knew that Enron was going to sell off. You know, that happened 10 years ago, but the point being, a lot of companies now think that they're being transparent by giving us all this information. I'm outraged about it. How do you feel, Josh?
I'm pretty upset about the whole situation. I mean, first of all, a lot of really shady, scary crap is going down with some of the laws that they've been passing. You know, they declared the United States a battleground?
Yeah.
So anytime, at any point in time, the military can actually impose martial law on the in the United States. They can take over if they deem it necessary.
Just look at the Boston Marathon bombing. I mean, if you guys
didn't... As soon as that went down, it was covered.
National Guard. I mean, I was looking at pictures.
But that was for good, though.
Well, yeah.
They had to catch those motherfuckers,
good. Of course,
they had to catch them.
Yeah.
But the crazy part is...
But how
like,
quickly it changed.
Yeah.
Boom. Oh, and we accepted it. Like, we were just like, oh, we need this. Like, we got scared into it. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah. Like,
I don't know, man. I don't know. Yeah, you're right. You're right both ways. It's hard.
Yeah.
I can see both ways, and I can see it, yeah.
When something actually happens, yes, it makes sense. But then to use that same scare tactic over and over and over again, it's the boy who cried wolf.
I'm not so worried about the current administration or even any of our past administrations that we've had if these laws were in effect. I'm scared for future administrations because say we do get a guy who's maniacal. Completely maniacal, insane, crazy.
George Bush, too. George W. Bush, too.
You mean three? Because we have the senior.
Is it George W. Bush, too, or George W. the Third? I mean, if they're already paying like $800 to spy on me, can they pay $850 so my bill goes down? Like,
right?
at least give me a heads up. Like, I already know you might be.
It's like, oh, don't worry, your bill is free.
I Google a lot of weird shit. Have you guys heard of Operation Northwoods, where the CIA was going to hijack these American planes and then blame it on the Cubans? We're going to hijack these American people that would rent these planes and go on like little trips in like the Florida area.
Yeah.
We're going to hijack by the CIA. CIA was going to fucking sacrifice motherfuckers. They were going to crash, blame it on the Cubans so Americans would get angry and want to invade Cuba. You know, that's a
ridiculous.
False flag, right?
Now, this also...
And that's happened over and over and over. The Vietnam War was a false flag. The Tuska incident, they admitted to it, and we're like,
no one's mad.
Like, they did it back then. You don't think they're going to do it now?
All right, and with social media, I mean, you don't even have to go back that far, too. Operation Mockingbird, it's a secret CIA program to infiltrate the media to give their spin on Texas stories.
And that's real.
No, that's real. And if you guys didn't know... Out of all the media corporations out there, think of all the news sites, CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, Huffington Post, the Arizona Republic, all the news sources you guys like listening to, all of them are conglomerates of three major companies.
Like Rupert Murdoch owns
a
shitload of them.
Exactly.
Is that for real?
Yeah. Time Warner.
Even American ones?
Straight up. Yeah, they're owned by corporations. The media is no longer you remember when the news used to be like an hour a night and that's it?
Oh, but you had personalities. You had people of character, though.
Yeah. Like,
not these scumbags.
Shout out to Anchorman. Ron Burgundy.
Ron Burgundy only told it like it is.
Yeah.
And now it feels like to be a good journalist.
We told it like the teleprompter.
I mean, I do remember those times. Journalists were almost like rock stars because there was these people that would put their their ass on the line to get the truth of something that was going to go down to inform us.
Yeah.
And they didn't care whether it was right or wrong, but they just deserved the people deserve to know, you know?
Yeah.
Walter Cronkite.
Walter Cronkite. He could have been killed in a lot of those situations, correct?
Yeah.
And he risked his neck, and he broke a lot of stories. It just really changed the game. Like, these guys were rock stars, and now what do we have to look at now? Like, look at the jokes we look at now. You know what I mean? Those aren't journalists.
Look at Edward Snowden.
They're TV personalities. They're TV personalities. They're not journalists.
Yeah, they all got their straight white
Who's wearing what?
Yeah.
Who are better?
Stephanie Wise all over the, you know, Fox News and all that.
But now it feels like to be a journalist, you almost have to be a whistleblower to be a good journalist. I mean, what's going on with Edward Snowden? I mean, is he still in Russia?
Yeah, he got temporary asylum, correct? As long as he said he would stop releasing information, as long as they gave him temporary asylum so he could find a way to South America.
That's a funny thing, because he released that one package, and that was it, right?
That was it. Kind of like Julian Assange, maybe he has an insurance policy where, you know, it's not a real insurance policy, but if he dies, if something shady happens to him, somebody's going to release a trove of documents. That's the theory with Snowden.
Yeah.
That's what people know about
Julian
Assange.
But what if they're bluffing and they just kill him anyway?
Could be. I mean, we won't know.
Yeah, well, they're listening to all our phone calls, so if you made a phone call to talk to somebody about that, look for a slew of people who are dying here pretty soon. Probably from the media. What was that guy, Michael Hastings or
whatever? Michael Hastings,
that journalist who was killed back in June, I think it was June 18th.
In L.A., his car ran into a tree 100 miles an hour. No skid marks. He didn't even try to stop.
What did he do before he was in this accident?
He was, I think he called somebody and
told
him, hey, I've got a big story. Didn't want to tell his wife about it. His lawyer has all the information from the stories.
Yep.
A little bit of background on Michael Hastings is, I think he's either a reporter for Rolling Stone or Time.
Rolling Stone. Who was just on the cover of Rolling Stone? Oh, conspiracy theory.
That's gross, man.
I'm just messing around.
But at any rate, no.
Stop Rolling Stone. But no, what you're saying?
No, yeah, but Michael Hastings broke a lot of news stories. He made a lot of powerful people really angry. He broke a lot of stories about what a lot of top-level generals were doing in Afghanistan.
McChrystal.
Petraeus was the CIA spying on him, or the FBI spying on him. So
they
even the
spy on each other. That's so gross. If you guys don't understand that, what Jay just said was a big thing, because you had the CIA spying on the military?
And the FBI. I mean,
and the
people.
FBI. So the CIA was spying within itself.
People look at me and think I should be wearing a tinfoil hat or something, but this isn't something crazy.
I think that's the worst part, where we say this stuff, and these people, and some, not these people, I'm not, sometimes maybe some people will say, hey, these guys are fucking crazy, but it's like, no, we're not crazy, this is publicly known stuff, it just doesn't get thrown in your face, you have to, like, look for it, you know?
Yeah.
But when you look for it, it just doesn't make sense,
you don't have to even look too hard, though, that's the thing, is everybody's so stuck on, all these other cases, like Casey Anthony and Trayvon Martin.
Yeah.
Like, what was going on in the news at the same time that was kind of like a back burner to all those stories?
Yeah.
Monsanto, that came out right at, like,
so,
parallel
so
with these cases.
Let's say later on, Monsanto maybe made a mistake and we do all get cancer from eating all their shit. We wouldn't be allowed to sue them, or they wouldn't have to pay any of the money to take care of us.
They're
like,
above the court.
So it's like they already know, they're like, hey, this might fuck people up, but hey, just in case it does later on, that's benefit of the doubt. Some people say that they already know it fucks people up.
I mean, there was a story a couple years ago that's kind of funny, of this man who had Alzheimer's, forgive my pronunciation, and he was taking these pills, right? And he was a good man, he was married, had children, Christian, I don't know the exact details on him, but he claimed after taking these Alzheimer's pills that they turned him into a gambling, gay sex addict.
Yeah.
And he won. How messed up do you have to be to win a court case telling someone, hey, you know what, I was a normal dude, but I took these pills and they turned me into a gay gambling sex addict?
Yeah, that's not on the list of side effects.
But that happened, though. That's a real thing.
The pharmaceutical companies get protected.
That was a real thing.
Yeah.
That actually occurred.
That actually occurred. Straight up. And the thing is,
and that sounds crazy,
is,
but people are like, no, that didn't happen. But
yeah.
No, it really did happen. You just have to, like, look for it.
On the other hand, though, I mean, wouldn't you have to have some semblance or remnant of that type of behavior in your psyche in order for that to be unlocked by something? It's not like they can give you a pill that turns you into turns into a homosexual.
We'll never know. But the case was that...
How do you win?
Yeah, benefit of the doubt. I mean,
I'm all wondering it, like, I'm going to try it. Like, how do you prove that? Like, I was perfectly awesome, perfectly happy with my life. So I started taking these pills for my Alzheimer's. That's all I want to do is bang other geeks.
And gamble my life away.
My money away?
But now, the pharmaceutical companies are above the law now. Mm-hmm. Like you said, Monsanto's above the law. And pretty soon, and it's actually, there was debate, was that they were going to make it illegal for journalists to have confidential sources. I mean, if you can't have a confidential source, who's going to come to you and say, hey, look, dude, there's this crazy stuff going on.
Edward Snowden.
Yeah. Edward Snowden.
Michael Hastings. We know what happened to Michael Hastings.
It's just shasty shit.
Yeah, especially...
He's murdered. He's been fucking murdered.
The dude was murdered because...
Gross.
The guy who was investigating the situation said that his accident was directly, parallel to other cases of cars having their electrical systems hacked and basically turned into RC cars.
Basically, today's version of what's called Boston brakes, where you would cut someone's brake line.
Basically.
21st century Boston brakes, man. Maybe the mob did it, maybe the mafia, the government, but the reality is he's dead. We'll never know. His body was cremated.
Against his family's wishes.
By the authorities.
Against his family's wishes.
Right? That's the shadiest part right there.
That could be a movie, and you were like, oh, that couldn't happen in real life, but it just happened.
I mean, I guess the car fire could have cremated him.
It's the messed up part, because the family wanted to get him back for their own independent autopsy. They said, give us the body back. We don't want him cremated. We want our own independent autopsy done. So they said, okay, and they gave him an urn full of ashes.
That's fucked up, dude.
Right?
That's real life.
Yeah. And they get passed by with a technicality.
Yeah.
Here's the body.
Now, all this stuff could be coincidence. It could be coincidence that he had a big story to break because he was a journalist. They always think they have big stories to break.
We think we're journalists, man. We always try to dig deep and, put out what's real out there.
Yeah. But, I don't even want to call myself that because I don't want to end up with my car running into a tree. But I got a 99. It's not controlled by I don't know. Would it be 99?
Probably.
Am I safe? Am I going to die on my way to work?
Fuck.
We shouldn't have to ask these questions, though. No, yeah, but these are questions that we shouldn't have to ask ourselves. Am I feeling safe? Of course I'm feeling safe. I'm in my home. I'm in my car. I'm not bothering anybody.
I'm sure we'll be safe because not a lot of people listen to this. But, we'll be safe.
We had 150 views.
Yeah,
downloads.
Yeah, let's say we did have like 100,000 people listening to us. And then
we'd really have to ask ourselves.
If 100,000 people really heard what we said, a lot of 100,000 people would have a lot of questions, right?
Right. Yeah.
And then you have to answer a lot of questions, and people wouldn't like that. And then it would be kind of weird.
Why do we have secret court rulings? Why do we have secret interpretations of laws? There should be no secret interpretation of a law. That's why it's a law. All people should know what a law is, because if you break that law, you might not even know.
Exactly.
Because if it's a secret interpretation.
That's like you're speeding down the street, the speed limit's 45, you're doing 80, and they tell the cop that pulls you over, hey, you know what, I know I was going over the speed limit on the sign, but it's cool, I got a secret interpretation of the law, so I'm innocent.
Yeah. I mean, how can we be sure that the government be honest about how much, these programs are protecting the American people?
We don't know they exist. We don't know they exist until they bring them up.
Well, now.
Yeah, now, we didn't know they exist, so these people were passing secret laws, like... Do you guys understand what that means? That means that people that you didn't know were passing secret things that were big deals. I mean, they wouldn't pass like things like, hey, at what age should people be able to, legally adopt other people's children or something like that. No, they were like deciding really big deal stuff in secret without telling you. And that's scary because you don't know what they're passing.
If you have a secret court making laws that govern the people... And the people don't know about it. That is no longer by the people. Like
I got trolled, man, by Obama. I love that guy. He did me wrong, man.
Look, the message that he was coming with, the hope, the change.
You fell for it too?
No, I didn't fall for
it. Oh, I totally fell for it.
I'm
a positive person, dude.
Yeah.
This guy came in with a lot of positive energy, and I was like, hey, I'm going to go for that because he's saying the right thing. It's like, that's where I'm at. I want positive outcomes for everyone.
And now he's a cult.
I voted for Ron Paul. I'm libertarian.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not like crazy libertarian where I don't think.
No. You know what? You did the right thing. I was just talking to my friend Jay Winter about this yesterday. You did the right thing. I would have voted for Ron Paul, but you know what I thought? I thought I was going to throw my vote away.
Yeah.
Guess how many people like thought the exact same thing like I did?
Mm-hmm.
If I vote for Ron Paul, I'm going to throw my vote away. Do you think a majority of the people that voted a certain way voted that way because they were afraid they were going to throw their vote away because we've been brainwashed like it worked?
Yeah, it's the two-party system.
And it's that same two-party system that has a system in place where they're spending 54% of our taxes on military spending. That means 54 cents of every dollar on a conservative estimate is going into defense spending.
I think that's the grossest part, where we spend 54% of the taxes on military defense. Most of that money, yeah, it goes into protecting us, goes into building new weapons, but it also goes into contracting our military things like construction to rebuilding. After you blow up Iraq, you have to rebuild Iraq, right? How much money was thrown into that? How much money was thrown into building Iraqi schools, Iraqi hospitals, and Iraqi infrastructure? And you know what? 100% they deserved it. They deserved it because we blew up their fucking country into the Stone Age, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, you could tell that if you go to the conspiracy route, that we went there for no reason, which we kind of did. Reality, we kind of went there for no reason. Maybe people wanted to make money. Do you know you can make money by not blowing up other countries? You can make money by investing money into here. You make new highways. You can make an international subway system. You know what I mean? And so you have an option outside of flying.
There's a better way to spend
national,
the money.
National subway. You can invest. You can invest into America and make money off it. Just contract into America. Build better highways. Build better bridges. Invest green energy. There's Phoenix. There's no reason why every house in Phoenix, every rooftop, should not have solar panels.
The government pays $500 for a hammer.
Oh, dude, it's so
it's
gross,
such a
man.
Waste of spending. But the thing is,
The whole point is like, yeah, you can always make money off shit. You can make money off blowing places up. War makes a lot of money. War makes money, but you know what else makes money? You can invest into your country, build new schools, give us the best hospitals, give us the best roads. And yes, the whole world, we should help them, but at the same time, we need to help ourselves first.
We need to stop helping countries that
we need to stop pretending like America's so great, because right now we're not in that great of a spot, you know? There's a lot of people struggling, you know? There's a lot of people trying to make ends meet.
And there's that saying goes, I think you may have heard it before. I don't know who originally said it, but the saying is, when I give a person in need food, I'm a saint. When I ask why the people don't have food, what do they call me?
I'm a communist, man.
I'm a communist.
It's gross.
How can
it's
you go from one judgment to another? Trying to get to the
same
end.
You're trying
to
fix the problem. You don't want to just keep putting a Band-Aid over it. You want to sew that wound up so you don't have to keep putting Band-Aids over it. You know what I mean? And you're going to get labeled something terrible.
And a lot of it is political. I mean, besides political gain, monetary gain, you know, the stock market's been blowing
up. You know what I think it is? I think it's that this doesn't get brought up unless you kind of look deep into it. But I think what the news does is it turns a lot of people off. People don't want to see what's going on in the news because it's disgusting and it doesn't make sense to them. So they avoid it. I'm going to avoid it. And, you know, that's perfectly fine. It's depressing. You know, people don't want to watch the news. They don't want to look into it. You know,
every time you turn it on,
as long as you're working, your family's safe, you're safe, everyone's, and you're taking care of your own, that's good enough. And you know what? A lot of times that is good enough. That's good enough for me sometimes.
We're all human. That's the thing that people lose sight
of. To err is human.
Yeah. And people lose sight of the fact that either they're human or the person that they're looking at is human.
You know, like you said, sometimes I don't like listening to the news because it is depressing to hear these stories. Maybe you think something was unfair. Maybe you were super excited about something.
If we bring things up, we bring it up because it doesn't make sense to us. And that's why we think it's interesting. I think that is the biggest problem in the country right now, is that people just go by the first source, and the first source is usually the loudest source. I mean, it happened just in plain sight like a week ago, and it happened in the most silliest way, where after that Asian plane crash, they decided to air the names of the pilots just because they didn't check sources. Yeah, what happened, Jay?
They came out this news story. Local San Francisco news said the names of the pilots were Sum Ting Wong, which is
oh
something
my God.
Wrong. Wee Too Lo. And one name was actually
oh my God.
One name was actually pretty terrible. It was like Holy Book, and that's how the newscast pronounced it. And I'm listening to this, and
but
wait,
because
they were making a
because
joke?
People didn't check sources, people didn't bother looking at a second source for it.
Well, no, they said they got this information directly from the NTSB, the National Transportation Safety Board. Actually, a summer intern, no big deal there.
So it went straight from intern into the lady's mouth, and then aired to the whole.
The world.
So if you ever hear something and you're like, these motherfuckers are trolling me, and then you go look it up and you find out that we're a bunch of bullshitters, then
let me know I'm a bullshitter.
Let me
go
on a bullshitter. And then if I look it up and then I look at like your articles and your evidence and then whatever you brought up, and I'm like, wow, dude, I got trolled, and then I trolled you. I'm sorry.
Get at us, Mario. What's our Twitter link?
Our Twitter link is @CognitionReal. You can also hit me up at Mario3K. Hit your boy up. Follow me. What's up?
Follow me, ex-buckethead Jay Griggs, and share some funny stories on my Twitter lead.
And you can follow me at JKW6284, Joshua Wagner, and
I just post silly shit most of the time.
So hit us up, Facebook, Twitter, text message. You guys know us. We're here for you. Let us know what's up. Let us know what's on your mind.
Yeah, and if you like the podcast, just be like, hey, maybe you guys are pretty interesting. We like it.
Share it with your friends.
No, positive. I like being positive.
Yeah.